He wasn't in the room he was sharing with Mikey, but Frank found him in his and Ray's room, sitting on the floor between the bed and the wall, with his knees pulled up to his shoulders. He peeped over the bed when Frank opened the door, like he was afraid of who it might be. But he relaxed minutely when he saw it was Frank. "Hey," said Frank, skirting around the bed to squeeze into the gap with Gerard. "Hey, it's okay. Don't listen to Mikey. He's out of his mind."
"But it's not just Mikey."
Gerard wrapped his arms around his knees and rocked back and forth a little.
"They all think I'm crazy."
"What? That's not true."
"It is,"
Gerard insisted.
"Ray."
"Ray's just saying what Mikey wants to hear," Frank said firmly, and then regretted it. Because why would Mikey want to hear that his brother was trying to kill people? "I mean, he's probably just trying to be supportive," he amended, risking a hand on top of Gerard's. Gerard dropped his head down onto his arms. His shoulders hitched, and then he folded forwards, suddenly, out of his tight little tangle and into Frank's space.
"I hate this."
Frank brought his arms up, wrapping them around Gerard's shoulders and squeezing him tight. "I know. I know you do. But we're going to figure it out, and it's going to be okay."
"Not if they're all against me."
"They're not against you," Frank said automatically, although he remembered what it had felt like when the guys had been skeptical about Frank's own ordeal. Like being at sea, but not in a boat, just alone in the dark with the giant fucking tidal wave heading straight for you, and the ship with the life jackets in was heading in the opposite direction. "They love you. They're just worried, and acting like dicks."
"Maybe they're right," Gerard said in a dull tone. "Maybe I am going crazy. Maybe I'm doing these things and I just don't remember."
"No."
"You should just let the hoods take me."
Gerard's voice wobbled and he curled in tighter to Frank's chest.
"If I hurt you, Frank, I would never forgive myself, ever."
"No fucking way." Frank got his hands around Gerard's face and forced him to look up. "Listen to me. You are not crazy," he said, stroking his thumbs over Gerard's cheekbones. "Unless you think for one second that any of us would just throw you to the wolves like that." Gerard looked unconvinced. He brought his hands up to curl around Frank's wrists.
"I am not going to let anything happen to you," Frank promised him softly. "Not ever. Understand?"
Gerard bit his lip.
"What if..."
He trailed off, looking down. "What?" Gerard took a deep breath and reluctantly met Frank's eyes again.
"What if I did something bad?"
Frank's stomach clenched. "Bad how?" Gerard's eyes darted around, and Frank could barely hear him when he admitted,
"I lied to you."
"About what?"
"About the Cardinal."
Gerard took Frank's hands and held them tightly, as if he was afraid Frank might try to pull away.
"I didn't call him."
"What?" Frank held on to his hands, but didn't try to keep the shock out of his voice. "But you said..."
"I know what I said."
Gerard clung and pulled Frank closer.
"But I was too scared, Frankie. You know they're going to make me leave you. They'll probably say we can't even be friends."
"Do you really think they'd do that?"
"I know they would," Gerard said hopelessly. "They're so powerful, Frank, and they're so... they're the most manipulative sons of bitches on this earth, you know? I'm so scared, Frankie. I know they're going to come after me. They always do."
"I won't let them get to you," Frank said fiercely, bringing Gerard back into his arms.
"They'll tell you things,"
Gerard whispered, his hands sliding up Frank's chest until he could wrap his arms around Frank's neck.
"They'll try to take me away from you."
Frank shook his head and held Gerard tighter. "Nobody is going to take you away from me. Nobody." Gerard pressed his cheek against Frank's.
"They'll poison you against me."
"I won't listen."
"No matter what they say?"
"No matter what." Frank shifted and rested his forehead against Gerard's. "You're the only thing that matters to me," he admitted with his eyes closed. Gerard sighed, his fingers moving in Frank's hair.
"I don't know what I would do without you."
"You'll never have to find out." Frank opened his eyes and cupped Gerard's cheek in his hand. Gerard pressed into the touch,
his face a perfect picture of misery. "I wish I'd left when I first met you, Frankie. I wish that I'd been brave enough. And now it's too late."
"It's not, it's not," Frank said, and kissed him. He couldn't not. Gerard was frightened and lonely and needing him, and Frank had to make him understand that it was never too late, not when it came to this. Gerard kissed him back eagerly. It made Frank ache to think about him going so long without this, starved of affection and closeness by the fucking church for years and years.
"What if they find me?"
Gerard gasped against Frank's mouth, moving further into his lap.
"What if they come after us here?"
"So we'll leave," said Frank, and Gerard rewarded him with another kiss. They wound together easily, pressing close, and Gerard's hands were sliding under Frank's shirt when they were interrupted by a knock on the door.
"Don't,"
said Gerard when Frank pulled away, gasping. Frank leaned in and kissed him again quickly. "You know they'll just break the door down if we don't answer," he said, reluctantly easing Gerard away from him so he could get up. "You stay here, okay? I won't let anyone in if you don't want me to." Gerard hesitated, looking unsure. Frank touched his face gently, and he nodded and climbed up to sit on the bed, watching the door anxiously. Frank straightened his clothes on his way to the door and made sure to pat his hair down over his forehead before opening it cautiously. Mikey was standing outside, his hands twisted in the hem of his shirt. Frank folded his arms. "Come to accuse your brother of attempting murder again?" Mikey rolled his eyes. "Frank, let me in." Frank blocked him when he tried to push past. "No way, not unless I know you're not going to upset him again." "You can't stop me from seeing him," Mikey said furiously. Frank pushed him back a step. "Watch me." Mikey's shoulders sagged, and he sighed, rubbing his eyes under his glasses. "Christ, Frank, I just want..." He dropped his hands and stared at the ceiling for a minute. "I just want to tell him I'm sorry." Frank eyed him suspiciously. "Wait here," he said, and shut the door. "It's Mikey," he told Gerard, moving back to the bed. "Do you want to see him?" Gerard bit his lip, reaching for Frank as he cast nervous glances toward the door.
"What does he want?"
"Just to apologize." Frank stroked Gerard's hair off his face. "Should I let him in?"
"Do you think I should?"
Gerard looked up at him, his face open and trusting. "I do," Frank said honestly. "He's your brother."
"Okay."
Gerard slid off the bed and stood up. Frank went to the door and let Mikey in. Mikey crossed straight to Gerard, throwing Frank an irritated glance. "You're staying?" "You bet your ass I am," Frank confirmed, shutting the door. Gerard looked like he was ready to bolt, so Frank went over and stood next to him, laying a hand low on his back. "Fine," Mikey scowled. He turned his attention to Gerard, a completely new expression on his face. "Gee, I'm sorry." Gerard pressed a little closer to Frank.
"Mikey?"
he said uncertainly. "I don't know what's happening," Mikey said, rocking on his feet and then pacing a little back and forth. "It's like I get hysterical or something, and I can't control it, and I attack you, and then I feel terrible about it afterwards." He stopped pacing and came over to Gerard, hands held out. "I know you would never hurt anyone, not ever. I know that."
"Especially not one of you guys,"
Gerard said, moving away from Frank and toward Mikey a little.
"Especially not you."
"I know," Mikey said sincerely. "I think maybe it's those guys outside. They're doing something, and it's driving me crazy. I don't know. I'm just sorry I said that shit to you."
"It's okay," said Gerard, and held out his arms.
Mikey went gladly. Frank relaxed and touched Gerard's shoulder. "I'm gonna give you guys a minute," he murmured. Gerard caught his gaze and nodded, extending his arm out from Mikey's waist to squeeze Frank's hand as he left. He didn't feel like going downstairs, and besides, he wanted to be nearby in case Gerard needed him. Frank went to his and Mikey's room instead, sat down on Gerard's bed, just enjoying being in his space,
He brought a hand to his own chest and touched the rosary through his shirt as he looked down at the things on Gerard's nightstand. His Bible, the gold cross he usually wore under his shirt. His phone. The screen was blank, and Frank frowned at it, trying to remember the last time he saw Gerard using it. Not since their things arrived from Pete, he was pretty sure. The battery was probably out of juice again. Gerard was always forgetting to charge it. Frank pried the drawer open and found the charger, then carried it and the phone over to the opposite wall and plugged them in. The phone rang almost the second Frank turned it on, the screen displaying private number. Frank pressed the green button and raised the phone cautiously to his ear. Hello?
Gerard, oh praise be to God, said a familiar voice. Is that you?
No, said Frank. Who is this? There was a long pause.
Mr. Aiero.
Another pause.
This is Cardinal Pierce.
Of fucking course it was. Frank's thumb was already on the red button when the Cardinal said hurriedly,
Please don't hang up. Is Father Wei with you? Is he all right?
I ain't telling you shit, Frank said sullenly, his thumb still over the button, just in case.
I'm not asking you to disclose his location,
the Cardinal said. He sounded exhausted. Good.
I just want to know if he's still alive.
He's fine, Frank allowed, after weighing up the pros and cons of giving that away. Maybe if the Cardinal knew Gerard was okay, he would leave them the fuck alone. He's fine. No thanks to you.
I can assure you I have nothing but Father Wei's best interests at heart.
Right, Frank snorted. Sure.
Is that why you decided to leave? Did Father Wei believe he was in danger?
We decided to leave because you told him he wasn't allowed to see us anymore, Frank spat. Apparently, there's no limit to the control you want to have over him.
Yes, yes, you've made your problems with the church perfectly clear,
the Cardinal said impatiently.
But I'm afraid I don't have time to discuss that with you now. You must allow me to speak to Father Wei.
Why, so you can convince him to come back to you and get fucking disappeared or something? Not fucking likely. Frank craned his neck around the doorway to make sure he wasn't being overheard. You've done enough damage to him already.
Frank, please. You can't possibly understand what's at stake here.
So explain. Frank scowled at nothing. I'm listening. The Cardinal sighed heavily, but went on.
Has Father Wei been behaving strangely at all? Has he done or said anything which you consider out of character?
Frank almost said no automatically, but curiosity got the better of him. He hedged. Why do you ask?
I have reason to believe his life may be in danger,
the Cardinal said gravely,
and the lives of you and your friends, and very possibly countless others. It is imperative that you return him to my care, Frank, please.
No fucking way, Frank snapped, losing the tenuous grip he'd been maintaining on his temper. You must be out of your goddamn mind if you think I'm giving him up to you assholes. You come within 100 feet of him and I will fuck you up, do you hear me?
Frank, please listen to me. I understand that you're suspicious.
You don't understand shit, Frank hissed as loud as he dared. Understand this, okay? I will not let anything happen to him, do you hear me? I will not let you lay a fucking finger on him. I will do whatever I have to keep him safe.
Then you must tell me where you are,
the Cardinal pleaded.
You don't know what you're up against. I should have told you right away. The second symbol on the sphera, the one which Father Wei was unable to decipher. It's the mark of Zaphan, and...
Who the fuck is Zaphan? Said Frank, but then he heard footsteps, so he hung up immediately, holding the button down to switch off the phone. He slipped it into his back pocket and swept the charger out of view, just as Mikey came into the room. Hey. Hey. Mikey said awkwardly. G went downstairs. I think Brian's calling for us. Frank nodded and went to move past Mikey, but was stopped with a hand on his arm. What is it? Mikey peered at him unhappily. Are we cool? Frank almost said yes just out of instinct, because it was Mikey. Of course they were cool. What the fuck? But then he remembered they were fighting, and his stomach protested the recollection with an anxious roll. I don't know, he said, jamming his hands in his pockets. Are we? I made up with Gerard, Mikey offered. Frank nodded. He hated arguing with Mikey so much, and made him feel horrible inside. It was easier to think without Gerard there, radiating hurt and confusion. Frank remembered why he'd been so mad, but it still seemed strange that he hadn't even wanted to let Mikey in the door, for fuck's sake. Do you really think it's the hoods making you act this way? I don't know. Mikey adjusted his glasses and was quiet for a long time, looking over to the window. I guess. I don't know why else it would be. Well, we're gonna figure it out, Frank said firmly. Mikey nodded. He kept giving Frank nervous little glances from under his hair. Frank took a deep breath, then let it out, willing the weird residual anger to go with it. I'm sorry for what I said about you and Toro. Are you guys okay? Mikey shrugged, his spindly shoulders going up and down one at a time. I don't know, he said slowly. Things seem good between you and Gerard. Frank bristled, but Mikey didn't seem like he was accusing, just asking. Frank's instincts were screaming at him to keep it a secret, that if he told Mikey they'd kissed, it would all be ruined. He gritted out, He seemed less upset when he left him with you, yeah. Mikey gave him a look Frank couldn't parse exactly. Well, he said in a small, disappointed voice, should we go downstairs? Or did you need to finish your call? What call? Frank said lightly, making his eyes big and round. I thought I heard you talking. Frank thought about telling Mikey what the Cardinal had said, the lies he'd spun. He thought it might make it feel less like he and Mikey were standing on opposite sides of some rapidly widening divide. But he knew it would also just rile Mikey up again, lend credence to his craziness. Wrong number, he said, and led the way downstairs. Ray, Brian, and Craig were clustered around the TV, which was still set to the security channel. Gerard was sitting on the couch with Bob, whose leg was propped up on a large padded footstool. Gerard gave Frank a tiny smile when he saw him, but then looked away. Hey, said Brian, when he saw Mikey and Frank. Danny and Mark are here. What? Frank went over to the TV. All he could see were endless creeps in hoods. How can you tell? They took their hoods down for a few seconds. Craig pointed to two figures who were standing near the entrance gates to the ground. So that you guys could recognize them. Seriously? Frank looked at Craig, impressed. Did you set that up? How did you even find them? Craig tried to play it cool, but he was totally beaming on the inside. A magician never reveals his secrets. So we need to go out there and get them, right? Bob started to get up off the couch. Sit, Brian snapped. Amazingly, Bob obeyed. You're going nowhere, Briar. Frank and I will go. Bob scowled. Go and get your asses kicked.
Hey, Brian and Frank can handle themselves, Ray said. But guys, there are a lot of them out there. I doubt they're going to stand idly by.
Craig snapped his fingers.
You can take the van, the one I sent to pick you up from the airport.
Mikey perched on the arm of the couch, next to Gerard.
I thought your cars were destroyed.
Yeah, me too, but it turns out it wasn't really that big of a fire.
Craig frowned and made a picture frame shape with his hands.
Just really inconveniently shaped.
And spontaneous, Bob added. We still don't know what the shit started it.
Maybe I should come with you, Gerard suggested.
No, Frank said firmly. You're staying here where nobody can get to you.
But
you can't pass through the barrier anyway, G,
Mikey said thoughtfully. He looked at Ray.
Should we make up some ink? I guess Frank will need to paint our symbols on the kids, right?
Brian tapped his pen against his teeth.
I didn't think of that.
Okay, you and Ray get on that, and, Brian looked speculatively at Craig.
How do you feel about driving the van for us?
Really? Me?
Craig practically bounced. Totally! Bob looked like his eyes were going to fall out of his head.
Craig can come and I can't?
Craig doesn't have a leg that looks like it lost a fight with a deep fryer.
He's a civilian. He's going to be driving Bob, not taking command of a platoon. Bob made a disgusted sound and threw himself back against the couch pillows.
This is going to end in blood and death, I hope you know.
Hey, Frank protested. I can take whatever evil mojo they can throw at me, remember?
I know, super strength. Bob waved him off. But last time I checked, Schecter couldn't. I'll be fine, Brian said, clearly irritated. Maybe I don't have magic or holiness or superpowers or axes coming out of my ass, but I can still hold my own. Or have I been sitting the fights out for the last year and I just don't remember it?
Besides, Mikey piped up supportively, everyone knows Gerard's the one who's useless in a fight.
Gerard's head snapped up, and he said defensively, I don't believe in violence.
Mikey patted his head, and I love you for it.
Okay, said Brian. Craig, do you have any plans of the grants?
Craig went to find some, and he, Brian, and Frank rolled them out over Craig's kitchen table.
The path from the garage to the gates is pretty convoluted, Craig said apologetically. But we can cut across the lawn and get there quicker.
Brian hummed, tracing the path with his forefinger. Maybe on the way back. But I think on the way there, following the path will keep us out of sight for longer.
Frank nodded his agreement. So what's the plan? We roll up, open the doors, pull the kids in, and drive like hell?
It's a little more complicated than that, Brian said.
Of course it was. It was always more complicated than that.
I know you have a steady hand and all, but I think even you would be pushed to paint two perfect circles at 80 miles an hour. We'll have to stay put until you've got the symbol on them.
Brian, this is crazy, Bob said from his seat at the other end of the table. You really think you can fight them off for that long, by yourself?
Brian shrugged. Don't really see that I have a choice.
Bob slammed his fist on the table. Let me come with you, you stubborn son of a bitch.
You're hurt, Brian shouted, making Frank jump. And so is Ray. And if you think I'm risking Mikey's life when the father is barely holding it together as it is, then you are sorely fucking mistaken.
It's my leg that's hurt. There's nothing wrong with my fists.
So what are you going to do, sit in the passenger seat and punch anyone who comes near enough?
Guys, Frank started, but then there was a crash from the living room and the sound of Mikey shouting. Frank ran back to find Mikey on his knees, holding Gerard, who was curled up in a ball on the floor, clutching his head.
Frank rushed over to him.
What happened?
I don't know.
Mikey shook his head. He was saying the words over the ink, and it just happened.
Frankie, Gerard moaned, rolling towards him. It hurts.
It's all right. Frank shushed him, looking up at Ray. Is the ink ready?
We said amen, Ray said anxiously. So yeah, it should be.
Brian!
Frank hollered, grabbing the vials of ink and the brush Ray handed to him. We gotta go now.
Be careful, Mikey urged him as he stood up. Just get the kids and come back. Don't try to do anything crazy.
Yeah. Frank hesitated, then crouched down again to pass his hand over Gerard's hair. Take care of him, okay?
I will, Mikey promised.
In the garage, Frank stared in disbelief at the scorch marks on the floor, forming an almost perfect square.
You weren't kidding about the shape.
Craig started up the van.
I know, right?
Brian and Frank climbed in, and Craig pressed a button on his keys that made the garage door start to swing open.
Are you sure this is going to work?
He said, holding up the hand Frank had painted a symbol on.
I'm not going to burn up on re-entry, right?
Let's hope not, Brian said grimly.
How are you going to know which ones are Danny and Mark? Frank asked Brian. Aren't they pretty much all going to make a rush for the van?
I'm hoping they'll take their hoods down when they see us. Brian squinted out of the window.
Okay, Craig, take it slow, and don't turn on your lights. The van moved at a crawl through the grounds. Frank felt like every tree and brush was about to come running at them. There was a strange sound in the air, a deep, reverberating humming, and as they moved closer to the gates, he could make out a rhythm.
They're chanting, he realized aloud. Great,
because chanting makes everything less creepy and gross. Craig brought the van to a halt, idling there for a moment. We ready? The hoods were lining the gates, indistinguishable from each other. Brian's profile was highlighted in the moonlight as he stared through the windshield, swallowing nervously. As we'll ever be, I guess. Hold on tight, Craig warned, and put his foot down. They were heading for the gates at top speed. Frank could see the hoods freaking out, milling around excitedly as the van headed straight for them. Will the van break the gates open? He yelled to Craig over the screeching of tires. One way to find out, Craig yelled back, and then the gates came rushing up ahead of them before Frank even had a chance to find a grip, and he and Brian got thrown forwards on impact, slamming into each other and the back of Craig's seat. Ow, Frank muttered, but Brian was already getting up, reaching for the handle to the side door and throwing it open. Danny, Mark! It was pretty much chaos. Some of the hoods had been thrown to the ground by the impact. Others were already heading straight for them. Frank braced himself, ready to start fighting, but then the two figures closest to the van threw their hoods back as they ran, revealing two very young, very dirty, very scared faces.
Get in, get in!
Frank yelled, reaching out to grab Danny's robe, as Brian did the same with Mark. The kids scrambled into the van, and Brian yanked the door shut just as two more hoods reached them. Frank heard them slam into it as it closed, and then they started hammering on it from the outside. You came, Mark said, his eyes huge in the dark. I didn't think you would really come. Gratitude later, said Frank, unscrewing the ink pot and yanking the brush out of his sock. Trust now. I'm going to paint on you, and I need you to just go with it, okay? I promise it won't turn you into a frog, and it's not a creepy sex thing, either. Said Mark, and then the van rocked alarmingly, and he grabbed for Danny's hand. Okay! Frank had barely touched the brush to Mark's skin when the van rocked again.
Brian, this isn't going to work!
I'm on it! Brian threw the door open again and jumped out, grabbing the nearest hood and slamming his fist squarely into the dude's stomach.
They're going to get in,
Danny cried, scrambling backwards into the furthest corner of the van.
Mark!
Don't move, Frank warned Mark.
He quickly filled in the third diamond and re-dipped the brush, dragging it in as smooth a line as he could manage to close the circle.
Okay, Danny, get over here.
Make it quick, Frank,
Craig said, jittering in his seat, hands pounding the wheel.
Brian!
Frank called, yanking Danny's sleeve up so he could get to work.
I'm okay!
Brian didn't sound okay. When Frank risked a look, he had one hood's arm hooked tight around his neck and was fending another one off with his feet. No part of him was touching the ground. It was fucking impressive.
Shit, shit, shit,
Frank chanted under his breath, working as quick as he could. The van rocked again, and Frank lifted the brush just in time to stop the design being ruined.
Do you need my help?
I got it, Mark said, climbing over Frank's feet.
Mark, no!
Craig shouted, but it was too late. Mark launched himself at the guy choking Brian and started pounding the shit out of him in a frenzy. When Frank finished Danny's symbol and looked up, he was pretty sure Mark was even using his teeth.
Get in, get in!
Frank yelled, leaning out of the van to grab at Mark and pull him back to safety. Brian writhed and kicked until he was free too, launching himself into the van and slamming the door shut just as Craig hit the gas and they were screeching back toward the house.
Won't they follow us?
Mark leaned over the passenger seat, trying to look in the rearview mirror. Hence the painting, Frank said, leaning forward to inspect Brian's lip, which was split and bleeding. They won't be able to get in, don't worry. Brian batted him away, pulling his t-shirt up and pressing it against his lip to soak up the blood. Guess you'll have to add your gates to that insurance claim, Craig.
Guess so, Craig said, but that's okay. This is so exciting, isn't it?
Frank leaned back against the side of the van and closed his eyes. Not the word I would use, my man. When they got back to the house, they took the kids straight to the living room. Gerard was sitting on the couch. He looked pale and pinched around the eyes, but his face split into a huge smile when he saw Danny and Mark.
You're okay! He exclaimed, getting up and doing a weird abortive back-and-forth shuffle that was, knowing Gerard, him going to hug them, then thinking better of it. Danny, it seemed, had no such reservations. He broke from his brother and threw himself at Gerard, hugging him tight around the waist.
They told us you died, he said, muffled. I thought we killed you.
No, Gerard said gently, squeezing Danny's shoulders. He looked over to Mark, who was hovering anxiously in the doorway. You didn't do anything wrong.
I'm sorry I didn't trust you,
Mark blurted, his eyes twitching between the window and Gerard.
They were different than we thought.
You're safe now, said Gerard. Nothing is going to hurt you here, I promise. Mark's shifty gaze settled on Mikey.
Sorry I threatened to shoot you, he mumbled.
Mikey moved one shoulder slightly.
School.
While Craig fussed over the kids, getting them drinks and snacks and out of their creepy hooded robes, they tried to answer Gerard's questions.
There doesn't seem to be a... What was the word you used? Danny wrinkled his nose.
Hierarchy, Gerard repeated.
Right, one of them. They're sort of... You ever seen Dawn of the Dead?
Mikey held a finger up. Original or remake?
Same difference, Danny shrugged.
Frank bit his tongue so he wouldn't get into it with the kid. This wasn't the time.
I just meant how the zombies just all go toward the mall, but they don't, like, discuss it or anything. There aren't head zombies telling them what to do.
We don't know exactly what they want from you, Mark said apologetically. They aren't exactly blabbermouths.
Brian frowned. They didn't tell you anything?
Mark looked uncomfortable.
They don't really talk at all. Not since what happened at the Fallout Boy show. They just chant a lot. It's so creepy.
It is, Frank confirmed. They were doing it outside. It's gross.
And before we ran away from you, well, we weren't really, like, part of them or whatever. But between then and the show, they would sometimes talk about raising something, but I don't know what.
I do, said a voice in Frank's mind. Frank shut it down.
The Cardinal said they weren't talking to him either, Bob reminded them. At the Vatican.
Danny shifted in his chair.
We think they weren't expecting you to take Pete's place, though. Like, that got in the way. And they keep chanting about releasing the resurrected.
Mikey looked sharply at Gerard.
Releasing you?
Maybe they're confused?
Danny offered.
Gerard stood abruptly.
So I should go talk to them, make them understand I'm not what they're looking for.
Are you crazy? Frank grabbed his arm. No way!
But it's what they want, Gerard said in an odd, blank voice. They'll leave the rest of you alone.
Right, because they won't have any use for us after they cut off your head and stick it on a pole or some shit.
We brought this, Mark said then, looking nervously between Frank and Gerard.
He motioned to Danny, who produced his backpack from inside the tangle of robes. Out of it, he pulled a bundle of t-shirts, which he unwrapped to produce a round object about the size of a bowling ball, with a symbol etched into each side.
A sphera, Ray breathed. Nice work, guys.
Thanks, Mark muttered.
Danny flushed with pleasure at the praise. Mark pointed to the second mark, the one they hadn't been able to find in any of Gerard's books.
They drew this everywhere, like in the ground and things. Then they chant around it. I thought it might help.
Gerard held his hands out. Can I see that?
Mark handed it over, and Gerard held it carefully, turning it over and over in his hands. He gazed at it for a long time, swaying slightly in place. And when he looked up, he had the strangest expression, so unfamiliar on Gerard's face that for a minute it didn't even look like him.
Get them out of here, he said, which didn't make any sense. But before Frank could ask what he was talking about, he turned and hurled the sphera at the wall, where it smashed and let out a flash of sick yellow light as it burst into 1,000 pieces.
Gerard!
Mikey shouted. Gerard had doubled over, staggering, moaning like he was in terrible pain. Frank's throat filled with acid and his insides froze, horror filling him all the way out to his fingertips.
He was so scared suddenly, so scared he felt like screaming. But instead he turned to Craig and grabbed his arm. "Where did you say that panic room was?" Craig was staring at Gerard. Frank shook him and repeated the question, and he stammered, Other side of the house." "Take the kids," Frank told him, running forward to grab them and pull them away from Gerard. "Take them, get them out of here, Craig, now, you have to go." Craig hesitated another second, but when Gerard arched backwards and screamed, clawing at his own face, Craig grabbed the kids' hands and took off running. Frank pulled the door closed after him. When he turned around, Gerard was on the floor, thrashing around so violently that he threw off even Bob's attempt to hold him still. In the end, there was nothing they could do but watch, horrified and rooted to the spot, as the sobs and whimpers slowly trailed off and the twitching and convulsing tapered out into stillness. Nobody spoke. Nobody moved. Gerard got back to his feet, silently, his back to them all. Mikey put his hand out, hovering an inch or so above Gerard's shoulder. "Gerard," he said timidly, "are you okay?" Gerard rolled his shoulders a couple times, then turned around slowly. He was smiling. "All better," he said in a sing-song voice, and then lashed out, catching Mikey across the face with the back of his hand so hard there was a crack, and Mikey flew backwards, landing with a painful-sounding bang and sliding across the floor until he came to rest in a stunned, crumpled heap against the wall. "Man," said Gerard, cracking his neck to the side, "that felt good." He headed straight towards the closed doors. Brian stepped in front of him, but Gerard just grabbed his shirt and tossed him out of the way like a rag doll, before throwing the doors open and striding out of the room. Frank put his hands over his stomach and just tried to breathe, willing himself not to throw up. He looked over to Mikey, who was still curled up by the wall, cradling his jaw in one hand. "Frankie," he said in a small voice, "that's not Gerard." "I know," said Frank, and he did know it, for the first time. It was a brand new thought, one he honestly had not entertained until that moment. There were clouds of bitterness and humiliation gathering in his mind, snide voices whispering about how big a fool Frank was to have fallen for it, to have thought for one moment, for one second, that Gerard really... But there wasn't time for that now. He would just have to reschedule the self-pity parade. "I know," he said again, and this time his voice only shook a little. "What are we going to do?" "What is he doing?" They were sitting on Craig's couch, using the security channel to watch Gerard moving through the house. He would stop periodically and run his hands over window panes, around door frames, sometimes over random patches of wall. "He's looking for a way out," Mikey answered Brian's question. "A weak spot in Ray's spell." "He won't find one," Ray said confidently. He was holding Mikey's hand. Bob sighed loudly. "I guess we're not going with my ass-kicking plan, then." "He's still in there, Bob," Mikey said quietly. "How do you know?" Mikey shrugged. "I know." Brian was kneeling by the coffee table, shifting piles of books around. "So I'm guessing we're dealing with some kind of possession, right? Of course we don't know what he's possessed by. That would be too easy." "Zaphan," said Frank. Brian looked at him. "Excuse me?" "The symbol on the sphera," Frank said. "It's the mark of Zaphan. That's who the hoods were trying to raise." Brian grabbed a book and leafed through it, muttering, "Zaphan, Zaphan," under his breath. "Zaphan, fallen god, rebelled with Satan, demon of the second rank, yada yada." The excitement faded out of his voice. "Had the genius idea to set fire to heaven and is now responsible for putting the fire in fire and brimstone. Awesome." "Huh," said Bob. "Guess the garage fire wasn't so inexplicable after all." Brian closed the book and looked at Frank. "How the fuck did you know that?" It was a long time before Frank could answer. He'd never felt so stupid, so ashamed, his whole life.
Remembering the way he'd behaved was like recalling an episode of TV or a story somebody had told him about a total and utter fucking jackass. But at the very least, he owed it to them to be honest with them now. "The Cardinal told me," he said, unable to raise his voice above a mutter or tear his eyes away from his knees. I answered Gerard's phone and spoke to him. "But I thought Gerard..." "He never called the Vatican like he said he did," Frank went on dully. "And he told me that they would take him away if I listened to them. So I didn't." The couch dipped and shifted, and Mikey's hand came into view, creeping over Frank's lap to find Frank's own hand and hold on to it. "Mikey," Frank started, forcing his tongue to form the words. "I'm..." "Don't apologize to me," Mikey said fiercely, bringing his knees up onto the couch. He tucked himself in tight against Frank's side. "Don't you fucking dare." "When did this happen?" Brian wanted to know. Frank's eyes burned and his vision was blurred. He couldn't seem to let go of Mikey's hand. "Right before the kids showed up on the cameras." "So we probably couldn't have done anything between then and now anyway," Ray said gently. "Don't beat yourself up, Frank. This isn't your fault." "Yeah, it is," Frank thought miserably, but he kept it to himself. Instead, he pulled Gerard's phone out of his pocket and tossed it onto the coffee table. It was a private number. "I don't know if you can call the one Gerard has stored, and they can tell us how to reach the Cardinal." Brian took the phone and turned it on. He gave Frank a sideways glance and stood up. "Maybe I should take this outside." Bob cleared his throat as Brian left. "So let me get this straight. This Zaphant dude can make fires happen with his brain. Okay, I get that. But what's with him pulling this lobotomy shit on Frank?"
"It wasn't just Frank," Ray put in. "I thought Mikey was invisible, and that throwing myself into the water was a good idea when I can't fucking swim."
Mikey adjusted his glasses. "Gerard says that all demons, the evil ones anyway, have three things in common. They hate God, they hate us, and they can control our minds. Or they can try, anyway."
"Okay, well, that seems like an unfair advantage," Bob scowled.
Frank forced himself to sit up and hold his head straight on his shoulders.
"I can't believe I fell for it."
"You didn't fall for it," Mikey insisted.
"No, you didn't fall for it," Frank argued. "You tried to tell me and I wouldn't listen."
Mikey pressed his mouth into a flat line. "Why do you think I came to you? I knew you wouldn't. I didn't want you to. I wanted someone to tell me it wasn't true."
"This explains so much, though," Ray mused. "Why we all went along with the runaway from the Vatican plan. How Gerard managed to get past the airport officials."
"That thing with his neck," Mikey said. Frank looked at him. "Possessed people can't bear the touch of the crucifix. I saw him test it on Pete."
Brian came back in, looking grimmer than ever. "Okay, I have bad news, worse news, and marginally less terrible news."
"Just start at the beginning," said Bob.
Brian nodded. "Okay, so apparently bunches of crazy people forming a cult and trying to raise a demon is less uncommon than you might think, which is awesome, in a nightmares for the rest of my life sort of way. But it does mean that the Cardinal was able to answer some of our questions." Brian paused, rubbing his hands together slowly.
"Demons can't just appear on Earth in their physical form. So what the Hoods were trying to do was raise its spirit, I guess, into Pete's body. And then they would perform a ritual to free Zaphant from the confines of the human form, and that's pretty much when the world would be in for a serious charbroiling."
"Only Gerard switched with Pete," Ray said. "So that derailed their plan somehow?"
Brian nodded. "Demons hate us, right? Wearing a human form of any kind isn't exactly a fun time for them. But I'm guessing a human priest is pretty much a nightmare scenario."
Frank frowned. "Because of the sacramental character, right?"
"Divine grace," Brian confirmed. "Not a demon's first choice for a roommate. So it seems like that was how the father was able to fight off or suppress the possession for as long as he did. But then the kid showed up with the sphera..."
And it was like a wake-up call for Zaphan. Mikey finished. So what now?
Ray raised his hand. I don't want to point out the obvious, but speaking of unwanted roommates, aren't we kind of trapped in a house with a demon who can set things on fire just by willing it?
Brian made a strange face, then dug in his pocket. He took something out and flipped it to Bob, who caught it and looked at it curiously. My lighter, he said, looking up at Brian. Where?
In the garage, Brian said quietly. But,
Bob started, then went quiet, looking down at the lighter in his hands.
Oh.
I think he's relying on using our own minds against us because he can't use his physical powers while he's in human form, Brian went on. That's why the Hoods want to free him. Frank didn't want to ask. He didn't. He already knew what the answer would be. But he found himself forming the words anyway.
How would they do that?
Brian hesitated for just a second before he said, They would take the father's life. There was a silence. Frank thought Mikey wasn't even breathing. Brian said, They can't get in, he can't get out. As long as we keep ourselves from giving in mentally, I think we should be okay. The Cardinal's on his way, we just have to hold out until he gets here.
Frank's head snapped up. What's he going to do?
Exorcise him, Brian said calmly. Cast the demon back down to hell.
Oh, said Gerard from the doorway, making them all jump. I don't think so.
Frank stood up and pulled Mikey with him, moving closer to the other guys on instinct. Gerard raised an eyebrow.
All that technology at your fingertips, and you're still too busy listening to yourselves talk to see me coming, he smirked, as he moved further into the room.
Humans, you never change.
You're human too right now, Ray said boldly. You can't hurt us.
Gerard smiled dangerously. Can't I?
You come any closer, and I'll break your arms, Bob warned, moving in front of Ray.
But they're not my arms, Gerard said innocently. They belong to your precious father.
He'll forgive me, Bob said, clenching his jaw as Gerard came closer. It's this thing he does.
Gerard just smiled at him, unfazed.
How's your leg, Bob? Does it smell right to you?
Bob sputtered, and Gerard crouched down, inspecting Bob's shin closely. He shook his head.
I really think you ought to lie down, he said sorrowfully,
and then his hand flashed out and he scraped his fingers over Bob's burned shin, sharply, and hooked his other hand around Bob's ankle and pulled, sending Bob toppling over backwards where his head connected hard with the edge of the coffee table. Bob curled up, both hands coming to cover the back of his head, and Gerard stood up, still smiling. Frank just wished he would stop smiling.
Oh yeah, he drawled, resting his foot on Bob's hip. You're a badass.
Then he pulled his foot back and kicked Bob in the stomach, hard.
Don't!
Frank shouted before he could stop himself. Gerard whipped around to face him and smiled even wider, if that was possible. Frank bit his tongue and shrank back against the wall, but it was too late.
Frankie!
Gerard came straight over to him, getting right up in his space, hands on his arms and leaning in to murmur,
You're my favorite.
Don't,
Frank said again, but Gerard had him pinned now, their bodies pressed together from shoulder to knees. Gerard inhaled deeply, his face pressed into Frank's hair.
All that longing,
he breathed, bracketing Frank's face in his hands.
All that rage. And so very, very obliging.
Frank jerked his head away, and Gerard yanked it back, pushing his thumb hard against Frank's lower lip as a slow, sly grin spread over his face. He quirked an eyebrow and leaned in so close his lips moved against Frank's skin when he whispered,
I didn't have to lift a finger.
Mikey came out of nowhere and launched himself at Gerard, trying to pull him away from Frank. Don't touch him!
Mikey, no!
Ray shouted, but it was too late. Gerard turned around and brought his knee up squarely into Mikey's stomach, then slammed his elbow down hard on the back of Mikey's neck when he doubled over.
Mikey fell to the floor, and Frank saw red. He threw himself at Gerard, intent on putting a stop to it, but Gerard turned around and slipped his hands into Frank's, holding them gently as he looked into Frank's face.
"You would never hurt me, Frankie,"
he whispered, and Frank wouldn't. He would never hurt Gerard. He didn't know what he was thinking.
"You would never hurt me."
Bob appeared over Gerard's shoulder. "I would," he said, and yanked Gerard's hands out of Frank's grip, bending both his arms up behind his back so Gerard twisted and cried out. "No!" Frank shouted. He tried to get to them, but Brian was behind him, holding him back. "That hurt," Bob said to Gerard, and shoved him face first into the wall, his hands still pinned behind his back. "Now I'm pissed."
"That's right, Robert. Let it out," Gerard sneered, only laughing when Bob pulled him back and then slammed him against the wall again. "They just point you in the right direction and let you go, is that it? Like a dog, a big, dumb dog."
"Don't listen to him, Bob," said Brian, his hands like steel traps around Frank's arms. Gerard craned his neck to look over his shoulder at Bob.
His master's voice.
"Shut up,"
said Bob. Ray was there suddenly, with something cradled in his arms. Rope, Frank realized. And Bob used it to bind Gerard's hands together before dragging him roughly over to a chair and throwing him down into it.
"You think you're something special, asswipe? Seems to me you're just another bad guy in love with the sound of his own voice."
Gerard shook his hair out of his face. There was blood at the corner of his mouth.
"Am I hurting your feelings?"
he said breathily, blinking up at Bob.
"It's nothing worse than they say behind your back, believe me."
"Anything they have to say to me, they say to my face," Bob said, kneeling so he could tie Gerard's legs securely to the chair.
Gerard snarled and struggled, and Bob stood up once he was satisfied. "Dick," he added as an afterthought, and set about tying Gerard's chest and waist. "You good?" said Brian in Frank's ear. "You're not going to run over there and untie him?"
"I'm fucking fine," Frank insisted, shaking Brian off.
Ray was kneeling next to Mikey.
"Maybe I should do something, a binding spell, just to be sure."
Gerard scoffed.
"Yeah, Ray, why don't you run and get your box of magic tricks? Maybe if you keep trying, you'll come up with something that can keep Mikey's interest for more than 5 minutes."
Ray flushed, but held his head up.
"That's not why Mikey likes me."
"No," Gerard agreed. "Mikey likes you because you're a warm place on a cold night. Isn't that right, Mikey Way?"
"Don't call me that," said Mikey.
"You think you would have stood a chance with him back home?"
Gerard went on, ignoring Mikey and looking straight at Ray.
"You think he ever would have looked at you twice? Look at him, Ray. He's beautiful. He can have anyone he wants. He's just fucking you because you're there."
"Shut your mouth," Mikey shouted.
"Don't be embarrassed, Mikey," Gerard soothed. "Hey, I know how it is, all right? As a guy who's been in what you might call a maximum security establishment for the past, eternity, I know how it goes. Eventually, even the dullest, ugliest motherfucker in there starts to look like a good time."
"It's okay, Mikey," Ray said, his jaw set. "I'm not listening."
"Yes, you are," Gerard shot back. "And nice job taking advantage of the guy when he's just lost his brother, by the way. Who needs Rohypnol when you have grief?"
Mikey covered his ears.
"But then I guess I can't blame you, Ray. Mikey is a very pretty package," Gerard went on. "It's just a shame there's nothing inside."
"Don't," Mikey whispered.
"It's fascinating, really. All humans are ultimately empty, useless vessels of flesh, but to come across one who depends so entirely on another to give him even the slightest sense of self-worth is really impressive. I'm amazed you even have your own name. No will of your own, no path, no destiny. Hitching a ride on the coattails of your brother's calling just to kid yourself that you aren't the most pointless waste of life to ever walk this forsaken planet. Do you ever dream you're him, Mikey? When you look in the mirror, do you sometimes see his face?"
"Stop it," said Mikey, rocking back and forth. "Stop it, please."
Did your parents even notice you were there after he was called? Did they care that you just faded away, drinking and fucking and trying desperately to ease the pain of knowing you're a total waste of space? Just waiting for your brother to come back and give your life some meaning. Mikey, really, you give new meaning to the phrase superfluous to requirements, don't you? Even your best friend turned his back on you the second your brother showed up, didn't he? How many seconds exactly did it take him to realize he'd been hanging out with the shallow end of the gene pool anyway?
That's not true, Frank yelled. He wanted to get to Gerard and make him shut up.
The minute he took a step forward, Brian was there, holding him back again.
Schechter, let me go.
Yeah, Schechter, let him go, Gerard mocked. Let's see if he can stand me touching him for more than half a second before he loses his mind to me again.
Frank growled in frustration, struggling in Brian's grip. You son of a bitch.
Son of God,
Gerard corrected him, his face going pinched and sharp and deadly.
Favored creation before you came along, insects crawling all over this planet, infecting it with your selfishness, your stink. Did you really think that he would turn his back on the Almighty for you, Frank? Seriously? Are you that arrogant? Or just that deluded? Do you think for one second that you have anything to offer a man who knows what it is to love the face of God?
I think, Frank snarled, that you're the guy tied up in a chair, and I'm the one still standing.
You can't even take credit for that, Gerard scoffed. If you're not on the floor, it's only because your friends are holding you up.
Yeah, said Ray. Friends will do that. Just another one of those pathetic human things, I guess.
Gerard stared at him for a second. Then his face twisted violently, and his head snapped back on his neck. The noise that came out of his mouth was inhuman. Like children screaming and metal twisting and hate and pain tearing each other apart. But the ropes held despite his struggles, and Frank felt grimly triumphant.
"How's it working out for you sharing a body with a priest?" he said. "Does it hurt? I hope it hurts. I hope he's kicking your ass in there."
Gerard's head snapped around at an unnatural angle, and his eyes fixed heavily on Frank's.
"I am beyond pain," he growled, his voice rolling gutturally from one syllable to the next. "I was cast out of heaven, human. You know nothing of pain. I will visit such suffering on this earth that pain will be a beautiful dream you once had. Your children's skin will blacken, and their eyes will roast in their skulls, and they will still be screaming even as the flames lick their way into their tiny throats and out of their charred, ruined mouths. And they will still be screaming, screaming for their God to save them, and he will not come." "Blah, blah," said Bob. "Is anyone else really bored of this guy?"
They huddled just outside the doors, where they could still hear Gerard ranting and raving to himself.
"It's almost better this way," Mikey said, cleaning his glasses on the hem of his shirt. "It's harder when it seems like it might be Gerard."
"When will the Cardinal get here?" Bob asked Brian.
"Maybe a day. I don't know."
Ray made a querulous noise. "So what are we supposed to do? Just wait?"
"I guess."
Frank shook his head.
"What if he doesn't last that long?"
Bob frowned.
"What do you mean?"
"When I would channel and have things going through me like that, it always made me feel like shit," Frank explained. "And Gerard thought Pete wasn't even going to survive, remember? I'm thinking a guy who went up against God has to be a shitload of mystical whatever. What if Gerard's body gives out?"
Brian sighed and rubbed his forehead.
"You're right, I didn't think of that. I guess we need a backup plan."
"Okay, you guys hit the books and I'll stay with the father."
"Are you crazy?" Bob raised his voice. "We're not leaving you alone with him."
"Someone has to stay with him, Bob, and he obviously doesn't have shit to say to me," Brian said decisively. "The rest of you take the books to the kitchen, and someone should go check on Craig and the kids. Tell them to stay put until one of us gives the all clear."
"I'm on it," said Mikey, and went off in the direction Craig had gone earlier.
"There's some rope left," Bob told Brian after they collected the books. "Feel free to use it to shut his mouth."
Brian smiled grimly. "I'll keep that in mind." In the kitchen, Frank and Ray settled at the table with the books.
Frank made it a whole half a page before he blurted out, "Toro, I feel like such a shit."
"Nobody's saying you aren't a shit," Ray said, fumbling his book open. "We're just saying on this occasion you have an excuse."
"But I was an asshole."
Ray cocked an eyebrow. "And that's such a departure for you?"
"Ray," Frank thumped the table in frustration, "why won't anyone let me apologize?"
"Because it's not your fault. Do you want me to apologize for almost drowning?"
Frank threw himself back in his chair. "Ugh. I just feel like I should have known something was wrong. Like I should have fought it or something. I mean, how did I let that happen? I couldn't even get hypnotized when I wanted to quit smoking, remember? The chick said I was too skeptical."
"Were you in love with your hypnotherapist?"
Frank's cheeks flushed hot and he looked away.
"No."
"Was she possessed by a mind-controlling demon?"
"No."
"Well then." Ray lifted his shoulders. "Nobody's going to beat you up for this, Frankie. If you want that, you'll have to get it from someone else."
Frank scowled. "You're so annoying."
"Yes," said Ray, going back to his book. "Forgiveness is a real pain in the ass." Then he sneezed explosively, coughed a bunch of times, and groaned, clutching his chest.
"Dude," said Frank, "you sound like me."
Ray waved him off. Bob came out of the garage, frowning.
"You would think I would remember starting a weird square fire," he said, sitting down, "but I just don't."
"It's the mind control," Ray reminded him. "It's not you."
"Hmm," Bob said. He rubbed his temples. He was sweating a little, and really pale.
"Dude," said Frank, "are you all right?"
Bob waved him off. "I'm just a little dizzy."
Frank exchanged a glance with Ray. They both knew that "a little dizzy" was Bob speak for "in incredible pain and about to pass out." It wouldn't do any good to talk to him about it, though. So Frank got up and found him a glass of water and some painkillers, placing them silently by Bob's elbow before reclaiming his seat. Bob waited until Frank had pretended to start reading again before downing the pills and draining the water.
"You need antibiotics," Frank tried, but Bob just scowled and hunched down behind a book.
"Craig and the kids are staying put for now," Mikey said when he returned. "He can watch what's going on. He has a feed of the security system in there."
"Of course he does," said Ray.
Mikey half smiled and sat down. "He's not letting the kids watch, though. It would just upset them."
Bob looked up. "And being locked in a room with a strange man isn't upsetting?"
"You didn't see it," said Mikey, dragging a book toward him. "It's bigger than my apartment was back home. They're playing Mario Kart." Ray turned a page with his fingertips.
"I was thinking maybe there's something I can do," he said, resting both elbows on the table, "to suppress the demon so he can talk to Gerard."
Mikey's head snapped up, and his face was so hopeful Frank had to look away.
"Really?"
"I've never done it before," Ray said carefully, "but I think so. I need to read up."
Frank looked at Mikey. He was sneezing and coughing before you came back.
"Frank," Ray scowled, "I retract that forgiveness."
"You told me you were feeling better," Mikey said accusingly, reaching out to press his hand against Ray's forehead like somebody's mom.
Then he took it back and said sheepishly, "Okay, I have no idea what that's supposed to do. But you need to take care of yourself, Ray. Come on."
"I'm fine."
"Okay," Frank amended. "Now you sound like Bob." Ray rolled his eyes, but Mikey stared hard at him, and Frank could see the minute Ray caved. He could also see that Ray didn't hate Mikey worrying about him as much as he made out.
"Fine," he said. "I'll make some tea."
"I'll help," Mikey said approvingly. They worked in silence for a while. Partly, Frank suspected, because they were all feeling the heavy weight of impending doom on their shoulders and tongues. But also in case Brian called out for them. Frank was reading a book that he suspected wasn't even entirely in English, but he turned the page and came across a drawing of an angel in armor, standing tall and proud and fierce, with a spear in his hand that he was holding to the throat of a dragon, this huge fucking dragon that he had pinned under his foot like it was nothing. "Michael defeats the dragon," the caption read.
Frank was about to push it over to Mikey when a line of text at the bottom of the page caught his eye. Ray looked up. Archangel Michael, Frank said, rereading the words on the page twice just to be sure he had it right. He looked up at Mikey. That's you, right? Field commander of God's army? He's your saint? Mikey moved his shoulders slightly. I'm not sure if he technically actually is a saint, but yeah. Why? There are many legends surrounding the Archangel Michael, Frank read aloud. Due to his duties, which include collecting and weighing the souls of the dead, it is a common belief that his face can only be seen by the dead or dying. Mikey wrinkled his nose. But you can see me. I always could, Frank pointed out. He looked at Ray. But you couldn't. Ray's eyes went big and round. He looked at Mikey over the top of his cup of vile-smelling tea. I saw you, he said in a troubled voice. I saw you from underneath the water, after I couldn't hold on anymore. Gerard said they had to give you CPR, Frank went on. Maybe you technically were dead or dying. And that's when you could see Mikey again. Frank put the book down and started digging through the pile for another one. He knew this. He knew this. He hadn't forced himself to read Gerard's mind-numbingly boring books for nothing. Aha! He said triumphantly, when he found what he was looking for. Remember that night in my apartment, and Gerard said your saint had that magic floating cloak or whatever? But he didn't drown, Ray said. But he could have, Frank insisted. He didn't because God didn't allow it. Okay, said Bob. But that doesn't explain why I turned pyro. I don't remember any mention of Saint Robert doing that. Frank chewed his lip. But there are like 100 Saint Roberts. We wouldn't know even if there was. Said Mikey, raising his hand. He was looking in the book Frank had cast aside. Saint Robert of Newminster often visited his friend, the hermit Saint Godric, he read. The night Robert died, Godric described seeing his soul ascending to heaven in a ball of fire. Bob looked at him flatly. Awesome, he said, then jerked a thumb in Frank's direction. And we already know what happened to death by paper cuts over here. Good thing Brian doesn't have a saint, Ray said earnestly. Yeah, just that blessed guy, right? Bob took the book from Mikey. Here it is. Brian Lacey, English, secretly friends with the priest, betrayed by his own brother, and he was... Bob trailed off, then dropped the book on the table and ran for the door. Frank lunged over the table and grabbed the book. Martyred, he finished, looking up at Mikey and Ray. Brian Lacey was hanged. They heard Bob shout Brian's name before they even had time to move. When they reached the living room, Frank didn't know where to look. Brian's red, still face, his closed eyelids, his hands hanging limp and swollen by his sides. The empty chair Gerard had been tied to. The ropes on the floor.
Cut him down!
Bob shouted, wrapping his arms around Brian's legs and lifting him, supporting his weight.
We have to cut him down!
It was like being in a dream. Frank moved on autopilot, climbing onto Ray's shoulders, taking the knife Mikey handed him, hacking and slicing at the rope that made a noose around Brian's neck. Bob was shouting. Frank cut as fast and as deep as he could, and finally Brian's body was loose and Bob was tumbling him to the floor, laying him out and scrabbling at his throat, pulling the noose over his head and throwing it away. Frank fell on his knees next to them. He felt Brian's wrist. No pulse, he heard himself say.
He's not breathing, Bob said, his ear over Brian's mouth.
He turned and, for a second, Frank thought he was kissing him, but his hand was on Brian's chin, the other pinching his nose shut. Brian's chest lifted. Bob was blowing breath into his lungs.
Out of the way!
He shoved Frank and laced his hands together, one on top of the other, pumping the heels hard into Brian's chest. Once, twice, three times. Four, five, another breath. One, two, three, four, five.
Breathe, goddammit!
One, two, three, four, five.
Breathe!
One, two, three,
four, five. Bob, said Frank. No, said Bob. He covered Brian's mouth with his own again. One, two, three, four, five. One, two, three, four, five. One, two, three, four, five. Bob, said Frank again. No, Bob told him, smacking Frank's hand away when he reached for him. Breathe, asshole, he yelled, and brought his fist down into Brian's chest hard, making Brian's body jerk and settle back into stillness on the floor. Brian, he shouted, and punched him again and again, and Frank thought he heard a snap, something breaking in Brian's chest. Stop it, Mikey begged him, kneeling next to Frank and reaching out to block Bob's arm. Bob, stop.
Don't tell me to stop, Bob yelled. Don't tell me to stop when he's...
Brian, don't you fucking do this to me. You don't get to fucking leave us. Come on, breathe, breathe, he roared, and slapped Brian across the face so hard his head rocked violently against the floor. Bob brought his fist down on Brian's chest one more time, and Brian convulsed, opening his mouth and sucking in a huge, hoarse, painful-sounding lungful of air, choking it back out, coughing and shaking and struggling for breath, while Bob held him up, close to his chest, one hand spread over Brian's torso. Easy, easy, he said. Brian's hands flailed around. Mikey caught one and Ray the other. Frank sat back on his heels and just stared. His hands hurt, and when he looked down, he found that he was gripping Brian's legs so hard his fingers were driving into them.
That's it, Bob was saying. Just breathe. You can do it. You're okay.
Brian fumbled his hand out of Mikey's grip. He caught Mikey's chin clumsily before scrabbling at Frank's shoulder.
What is it? Said Frank, catching his hand. Brian?
Brian couldn't speak yet, but Frank was watching his face, and he saw his mouth form the words.
I didn't.
I know you didn't, said Frank, holding on tight. I know you didn't. I know that.
He didn't what? Bob demanded, still holding Brian close.
For a minute, Frank couldn't answer because he wasn't there. He was back in his bathroom, sprawled out on the floor, and Brian was holding him in his arms until the ambulance came. He didn't try to kill himself. He managed, eventually, leaning into Mikey, pressing Brian's hand between his own. It was Gerard.
I can't see him anywhere, said Frank, standing in front of the TV.
He's completely disappeared.
He must be somewhere, said Bob.
Frank clicked through the security cameras one more time.
I don't see him.
He reset the screen to show the areas nearest the living room and went to sit down. Brian was lying on the couch, propped up against pillows they'd liberated from around the room. He was pale, and he winced every time he moved. His eyes were bloodshot, and there was an ugly, purple ring around his throat that Frank didn't want to look at. But he was alive. Bob was sitting at the other end, with his leg propped up on the footstool. He was sweating bullets, and his leg looked like he lost a fight with a meat grinder. Ray was in the big armchair, and Mikey was sitting next to him, replacing the bandages on his hands.
Jesus, said Frank, and sat on the coffee table.
He dropped his head into his hands.
We are not in the best shape we've ever been, guys.
We just have to make it until the Cardinal calls us, Mikey said quietly, ripping a piece of tape. Frank shook his head.
Bob needs a doctor now, and who's to say Gerard won't come back and Jedi mind-trick us all into killing each other anyway?
Gerard isn't what's keeping us trapped in here, Frankie,
Brian croaked.
It's those creeps outside.
Frank yanked the rosary out from under his shirt and wound it around his fist. He ground the beads against his knee through his jeans.
Ugh.
I have my kit here, Ray said, but to work that suppression thing I mentioned, I need one of the books we left in the kitchen, the one with the purple rose on the cover.
I'll get it, Frank said immediately, standing up.
Are you crazy? Mikey shook his head.
Frank, if he finds you...
If he finds me, I won't listen to a word he says, Frank cut Mikey off. Yeah, the thought of that thing out there wearing Gerard's face and touching Frank with his hands made Frank want to throw up. But he would take a million years of that over Gerard speaking to Mikey the way he had before.
These guys are all hurt. They need you to stay and take care of them.
The phone rang then, making them all jump. Brian reached for it, but Frank went over and plucked it out of his hand.
Hello?
Mr. Aiero, said the Cardinal. Are you all right?
Define all right, said Frank, looking around at his friends.
Are you...
When do you get here? Frank cut him off, because he still didn't want to talk to the guy, even though now it was less because Frank didn't trust him, and much more that Frank had realized that when it came to Gerard, he couldn't trust himself.
Tomorrow morning,
the Cardinal said quietly, after a pause.
In around 10 hours from now, I should say.
Brian gestured impatiently for the phone. Frank tossed it over to him and looked at Ray.
They'll be here tomorrow. How long do we have? Mikey wanted to know.
10 hours. Mikey met Frank's eyes, and Frank knew they were thinking the same thing.
Get the book, he said, and Frank nodded and headed for the door.
Mikey followed him to make sure it was barred shut from the inside, and Frank crept along the hallway to the kitchen. He felt like there were eyes in the walls, like the air was touching him with spindly, sweaty fingertips, and his heart was banging in his throat as he made his way. There was total silence in the house, and Frank's breathing was loud in his ears as he reached the kitchen and found the book Ray wanted on the table. He grabbed it, turned around, and, "Don't scream," said Gerard, holding his hands out, palms forward.
"Don't touch me," Frank snapped, stepping backwards. He clutched the book tight to his chest so Gerard wouldn't be able to see that his hands were shaking.
"And I wasn't going to scream, what the fuck?"
"All right." Gerard lowered his hands, but didn't step back, hovering just a foot or so out of Frank's personal space. "I want you to listen to me, Frank."
"Why?" Frank scowled. "So you can spew a bunch more shit about me and my friends? No thanks."
"No," said Gerard, stepping to block the way when Frank tried to move. "I just think we can help each other."
Frank stared at him. "Did you forget that you're an evil demon from hell? I'm really not looking to scratch your back, dude. And thanks for making one of my best friends hang himself, by the way. That was awesome."
Gerard laughed a little, not the sharp sneer from before, but a genuine laugh, which made Frank want to throw up, because it sounded like Gerard. And that was so wrong, and it made Frank's stomach clench painfully with missing him.
"You're so angry," Gerard said quietly, tilting his head to the side. "I won't lie to you, Frank. I find that, well, let's just say you hold a special fascination for me."
Frank opened his mouth to respond, but before he could get any words out, Gerard was there, pressing him up against the wall again, his hand settling on Frank's waist as he looked into Frank's eyes.
"Those people out there," he said softly, "they're just sheep. No mind of their own, like your friends."
"No," said Frank.
"When this priest of yours asked them to drop their lives and follow him, did any of them give it a second thought?"
Gerard went on, his voice rising and falling rhythmically.
"Did any of them question it, even for a second?"
Gerard brushed his lips against Frank's forehead.
"But you did, didn't you, Frankie? You weren't ashamed to show you had a mind of your own."
Frank opened his mouth, but nothing came out.
"You question things,"
Gerard whispered against Frank's hair.
"You want to know why? You gave up everything to be loyal to this priest and his cause, but you didn't want to sign over your soul.
All you had to do was ask for a little respect, Frank, a little independence, and what did you get? Abandoned, forsaken, a broken heart."
Gerard tipped Frank's chin up, and Frank was startled to see that Gerard's eyes had filled with tears.
"I know all about loneliness, Frank. I know all about longing. I know all about that. I know what it's like to be punished just because you won't do what you're told."
Frank shivered under his hands, pressing closer despite himself.
"What do you want from me?"
"I want out," Gerard said simply. Before Frank could respond, he went on, "And if you help me, I'll give him to you." Frank bit his lip. He didn't want to believe it, but he could feel that it was the truth. He could feel it running up his spine and into his mind.
"I don't want him like this," he tried, but it sounded weak even to his own ears.
"Liar,"
Gerard breathed against his ear.
"I think you want him any way you can get him, Frankie.
I think you're aching with it. I think you're really, really hurting for him, sweetheart. And here's the secret. He feels the same.
Frank shuddered and tipped his head back, encouraging the first slide of Gerard's lips on his throat.
He thinks about it all the time,
Gerard went on, sliding his hands up over Frank's chest and down to his belly. He lies awake at night, burning for you, Frankie. He stares at the ceiling and prays for the strength to keep his hands off you for just one more day. The thought of you with someone else makes him sick. Did you know that? Someone else touching your skin, tasting your mouth, feeling you hot and desperate against them? He wants to be the one in your bed, Frankie. He wants you to hold him down and spread him open and taste every dirty, shameful inch of him. And I can give you that.
Gerard pulled back to look into Frank's eyes and slid his thigh between Frank's, pressing up and smiling when it made Frank gasp and clutch at him, his eyelids fluttering as his head fell back against the wall.
I can give you everything you want, and all you have to do is set me free.
Frank looked uncertainly down at the book still in his arms, pressed tight between them. Then he looked up at Gerard's face, and the decision was easy to make.
I can get you out, he whispered, but I have to go back to the living room first.
To the others?
Gerard said sharply, his hands tightening almost painfully on Frank's waist.
Why?
Frank showed Gerard the tattoo on his hand. You won't be able to leave without this. I need the special ink Ray makes, and it's back there.
Gerard searched his eyes. Frank just looked back, enjoying being so close to him, enjoying being held.
I would never hurt you, Gerard, he whispered honestly. All I want to do is keep you safe.
Gerard hesitated a second longer, then nodded, turning Frank out of the warm circle of his embrace. I'll be waiting here. I'll be right back, Frank promised him, and headed back to the living room. When he returned, Gerard appeared from the shadows in the corner.
You came back.
I promised. Frank held up the vial of ink. I don't know if this might sting, he said, frowning. It has holy water in it.
Gerard smirked. I can take it.
Frank nodded and unscrewed the cap, dipping the brush in. The first touch against Gerard's skin made him hiss and pull away. As Frank kept working, the skin on Gerard's neck began to blacken and crack, but Gerard stayed still and silent after the first moment, until Frank was done.
Okay, Frank said, putting the ink aside. We can take the van. I still have the keys.
Let's go, Gerard said, but Frank stopped him with a hand on his arm.
What is it?
Just, Frank shrugged shyly. I don't know. Thank you.
Gerard smiled and pulled Frank close again. Believe me, Frank, it's my pleasure.
Frank turned his face to Gerard's and kissed him, deeply, sighing when Gerard pulled him up against his body and held him there, tight, one of Frank's legs slipping in between Gerard's.
You are right,
Frank whispered in his ear when the kiss broke, settling his hands firmly on Gerard's shoulders. Gerard nuzzled the side of his face.
About what?
I don't do what I'm told, said Frank, and with a flick of his wrist he shook the rosary out of his sleeve and jammed the crucifix as hard as he could into the broken skin on Gerard's neck. Gerard howled and staggered, hands coming up to clutch at his neck. Frank shoved on his shoulders, sending him to the ground, and followed him down.
You think I'd sell him out for sex? He hissed, throwing his leg over Gerard's hip and pinning him to the ground.
You stupid motherfucker, you don't know the first fucking thing about me. He screwed the crucifix into Gerard's neck again, slapping Gerard's hands away hard when he screamed and clawed at his throat.
Mikey, now!
Mikey came running in, Ray hot on his heels. They skidded to their knees next to Gerard, and Mikey shoved a book into Frank's free hand.
Read.
Frank recited the words on the page, but he wasn't really seeing them. Mikey was following Ray's frantic instructions, as he used his arms and knees to help Frank keep Gerard pinned to the floor. It was awful. Gerard was writhing and wailing. He was cursing them and saying terrible things about them, about their mothers, about himself. He convulsed so violently his head cracked a tile on the kitchen floor, and he spat blood, shuddering, jerking like every word Frank spoke was a bullet, like every move Mikey made was acid in his face. Frank kept the crucifix driving into Gerard's neck, even when he smelled burning flesh.
Gerard ripped his arm free and his hand clamped tight around Frank's throat. Frank choked and kept reading, looking at the book instead of at Gerard's face, at his eyes, which were black with rage and betrayal. Gerard convulsed once more, his fingers spasming around Frank's throat before he twisted and vomited a stream of blood and blackness onto the floor. And then he slumped there, retching and heaving, all the tension leaving his body at once. Frank dropped the book and took the crucifix back at once. He climbed off Gerard and collapsed onto the floor instead, while on the other side, Mikey gathered Gerard up into his arms, unmindful of the mess on the floor. Gerard sounded, well, he sounded like a man who'd just been through something that really fucking hurt, breathing out hoarse, shaky sobs against Mikey's chest. Mikey shushed him. He'd lost his glasses. Frank couldn't see them anywhere, but he saw the side of Gerard's ash-pale, tear-stained face when he struggled to ask Mikey, "Is it gone?" Mikey shook his head, and Gerard hid his face again. Mikey rocked him back and forth. Frank looked at him, at Ray, at the wreckage of the kitchen. They were all silent. There was nothing to say.